Amen. Remember Wednesday night service, we've been preaching a series about how God answers prayer, and somehow we got stuck on when God says yes, and we've not been able to pull away from that yet. And this week, God's given me two messages on when God says yes, and so I guess I'll preach one of them. You better hope I don't preach both. Some of you said I'm not coming if you preach both, amen. Tonight, if you have your Bible, we want to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. I want to look in verse 15 if you'd stand to your feet tonight. Matthew 22, verse 15, very familiar text. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. When he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. That's the reading of Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22, if correctly read. I want to preach on this thought tonight, from taxes to the tree. From taxes to the tree. Father, we thank you now tonight for the word of God and for the good singing that our eyes have witnessed and our ears have heard. And Father, the praise that's due unto your name, Lord, I thank you for it. And God, at our best, we know that we're unprofitable, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would energize these words that we shall preach tonight. And God, it might be a blessing upon your people. Help us tonight, God, to declare the truth of the word of God. Would you put us in a place then, Lord, that we might see your glory tonight upon your people, that we might see your glory as you hide us in the cleft of the rock. And for this I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. Gentlemen at the sound booth, I have an illustration I want to put up here in just a minute, so if you'll get ready. Now, there is much contention over taxation. In 1913, the federal income tax was brought into existence. It was a 1% tax, and one senator said this is a danger because one day it might be voted to increase to up to 5%. Then what will we do? The tax rate today, depending on what you make, is between 10 and 37%. In fact, you can go ahead and put that up now, that illustration. Did you know that the phrase the IRS actually spells theirs? Thank you. You can take that down. I just thought that might be interesting to somebody tonight. Amen. When we look at this text, when we think about from taxes to the tree, all of us know about taxes. There's no strange thing, even in Jesus' day, tribute money means taxes. We think, first of all, about the omniscience of Jesus. Omniscience means he is all-knowing. There's not a place that we can go, whether the valley or a cave or on a mountaintop, that he doesn't know where we are. And I think when I look at this text in verse 15, we see the hostile plot. There's much hostility towards Jesus. They hate him, and they hate his message, and we're looking in this text in the last week of Jesus' life before the crucifixion.
On Sunday, he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and they waved palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But on Monday, he goes and he cleanses the temple, and he overthrows the tables of the money changers, and that made them mad. And they said, "By what authority do you do these things?" Now, Jesus left, and on Tuesday, remember, he goes back to the house of God, and they question him again, and he begins to give them three parables. He gives them a parable about the two sons, about the wicked tenants of the vineyard, and about the marriage of the king's son. And those Pharisees took that, those parables, to indicate that they were in sin and that they had come against Jesus. Now, they're angry. And so they sent men to Jesus. These are spies that they sent to try to trap and entangle and discredit our Lord. It's a hostile plot. Examine the hateful partners. They sent unto him, verse 16, their disciples, Pharisees, and the Herodians. Now, and they asked the question, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now these spies, the Pharisees and the Herodians, are two total opposites of the coin. The Pharisees hate Rome. They hate Rome's rule. They hate the taxes that they're demanded to pay. But the Herodians, on the other side of the coin, are Roman sympathizers. They're okay with Rome. They like their rulership. They're okay with Caesar in a way. And so they send him two different sides of the coin, trying to discredit and entangle him. Look at their hypocritical ploy. They said in verse 16, "Master." Now, master is a form of honor, and they act as if they're honoring him. But truly, it's just a form of flattery, right? Because they're plotting against him, and they want to entangle and discredit him. Yet they called him master, and they're trying to flatter him. What is flattery? It is saying to someone's face what you will not say about them behind their back. Opposed to gossip. Gossip is saying behind somebody's back that you won't say to their face. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:5, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." It says in the Psalms, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips." Winston Churchill said of a man by the name of Adolf Hitler, he said, "When a snake wants to eat its victim, it first covers its victim in saliva." That's flattery. These hateful partners say, "Master, we know you teach the truth. You're not impartial. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" And Jesus, being the omniscient, all-knowing God, he perceived, verse 18, their wickedness, and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" He knew who they were. He was not fooled. Number two, consider his omnipotence. He is all-powerful. Verse 19, he said, "Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. Now, a penny in the New Testament economy in Roman days was a denarius. It was a day's wage. It had the picture of Tiberius Caesar on the front of that coin. You may not care about it, but this is interesting to me. Tiberius Caesar, his daddy, his name was Augustus, Caesar Augustus. He was the first Roman emperor to be called a Roman god. So on that penny, on that denarius, is a picture of the Roman Son of God. If you will, here's Jesus, the sovereign Son of God, holding a coin with the Roman Son of God. Woo! What an illustration. What about an interpretation? Show me the tribute money. Whose, verse 20, is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. That's Tiberius Caesar. They said, Caesar's. He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It is our responsibility to pay our taxes and to submit to our government. In 1 Peter chapter number 2 and in verse number 17, the Bible says, remember Simon Peter, who he was, the man of God, a called disciple of the Lord, who was persecuted by Nero and put to death by the emperor Nero. Listen to what Simon Peter said about a man who was persecuting him at every opportunity. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. How should we respond to government that we may or may not like? We are to honor them. Though they persecuted Peter and put him to death, Simon Peter was honoring the government. The government has a duty to protect its citizens. Yes, it does. It has a duty to punish criminals. Yes, it does. It has a duty to promote concord and welfare. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You may or may not hear about election scandals and cheating, but nonetheless, there's no power that is that's not been ordained of God. Amen, Pastor. You're telling the truth. Jesus said, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But mine omnipotent Savior also said, you render to God the things that are God's. It is also our duty to pay our tithes, to keep up His work. It is our duty to volunteer our time. It's our duty to volunteer our talents, to praise our Lord. We ought to obey God rather than man. We do not have to support a government or laws that would usurp God's authority. Daniel was called to pray, a man of God. And the king said, it's illegal to pray. If you pray under my kingdom, you will be thrown to the lion's den. Daniel knew it. He was close to the king, but he's also close to the King of Kings. And he's thinking, I ought to obey God rather than man. And he undid his window and threw it up. And I could see him bow and said, God of glory, I call upon your most excellent name. And those that had a hostile plot against him immediately reported to the king. And we know Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But God also showed up in the lion's den. Amen. And closed the mouth of the lions. And our friend Daniel, our brother, was able to walk out the next morning, whew, seeing God a whole lot bigger than he did when he went in the lion's den. I'm talking about an omnipotent Savior. He's able and powerful to do all things. Amen. Thirdly, and I'll be done, I think about the omnipresence of Jesus. He is everywhere. Now, when I look in the Bible, you got your Bible open? Verse 19 says, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. Now, did you know that only the King James Bible uses the term penny? Every other version uses the term denarius. Now, our modern day penny can testify of Jesus' omniscience, of his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. I'm just saying that Jesus is everywhere. He is even in the coin that you have in your pocket or pocketbook. He's in the penny. Does anybody here have a penny? I got one. You have one? Get that penny out. Won't you get it out? Raise your hand if you don't have a penny. Preacher Darren, I don't have a penny. I don't have one. Let everybody look around. If you have an extra penny, would you go and share that penny with somebody? Now, this is a lost coin, son. You know where it goes. Share the penny. If you got a penny, share the penny. I brought my own to look at tonight. There's a date on the front of that penny in the lower right-hand corner. Mine says 1972. What does yours say? Preacher Darren, I can't read it. You need to go to the eye doctor. 2021. 1988. 2014. Hear me. That is the date since Jesus' birth. So the penny tells us a little bit about Jesus. In fact, look on the back of it. What does it say down at the bottom? It says 1 cent. Jesus is 1 cent. S-E-N-T. In John chapter 5 and in verse number 30, he says, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Turn back to the front. On the front of your penny is a former president. His name? Abraham Lincoln. He was a real man. That makes me think Jesus was a real man, yet he's also fully God. The man in our penny, he's the seed of Abraham. His grandpa was named Abraham. That makes me think about Jesus. He's the seed of Abraham, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. When the man on our penny was born, he was born into a divided land. The north and the south was divided. Jesus was born into a divided land. Division between Rome and Israel. The man on our penny was plagued with racial problems. Whites and blacks. Jesus was plagued with racial problems. Jews and Samaritans. The man on our penny was born in poverty in 1809 in an obscure cabin. Jesus was born in an obscure manger in the middle of poverty. If you don't believe me, read Luke chapter 2. The man on our penny lived a life filled with grief and sorrow. Did you know that he lost everyone that was dear to him? Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrows and grief, according to Isaiah 53:3. The man on our penny spent his life with his father. His father was a carpenter. Jesus was raised in a carpenter's shop by his earthly daddy, Joseph. The man on our penny spent time with his father making things. Jesus and his father made it all. And without him, there was nothing made. The man on our penny was introduced to the world by his denomination of faith. He was a Baptist. Jesus was introduced by a Baptist, John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The man on our penny was known for honesty, wisdom, and integrity. He had a keen insight on solving problems. His nickname was Honest Abe. One time he walked 4 miles to return 4 cents to somebody who had been overcharged. Jesus solves all problems. He's the truth. He's trustworthy. You can depend on him. He will never shortchange you. The man on our penny had little formal education to speak of. In fact, he was self-taught to read. What did he learn in? A King James Bible. Jesus made men marvel too. No formal worldly education. Yet he's the walking, living edition of the Word of God. The man on our penny, he had many of his speeches preserved. On many occasions, the man on our penny quoted the Word of God. One example, the Gettysburg Address. Jesus' words, amen, are many times recorded. He read the New Testament. In fact, he is the New Testament. He quoted the Old Testament. In fact, he's that too. The man on our penny, listen, he was called to make a sacrifice. And he gave his life in service to our nation. In fact, did you know the man on your penny has been called the Savior of the Union? I would remind you that Jesus was called upon to make a sacrifice to save the world. Jesus gave his life that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is Savior to all who believe. Now the penny that you have, it's made of bronze, okay? And it's cast in bronze, but then they copperize them. Nowadays, they're starting to make them out of zinc. I begin to think about how bronze represents judgment and how Jesus was with Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. How Jesus was with the three Hebrew children when they were in the burning fiery furnace. And when Nebuchadnezzar called out the three, the fourth man's still in the fire. Amen. He's still in there. Amen. The man in our penny is said to be an ugly man. He's known for being haggard, lean, and weak. Many painters, when they would paint his picture, they'd try to get him to turn his head because he had warts on his face, and they wanted to hide them. What about Jesus? Oh, the Bible says there was no beauty nor comeliness about Jesus. In fact, Calvary was an awful sight. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. The man on our penny could not grow a full beard. He even said, "My beard often looks plucked." I would remind you, Jesus, woo-wee, beard was completely plucked just before his crucifixion, as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 6. The man on our penny, his blood was shed by cruel hands. Jesus' blood was shed the only way it could be. May I read Acts 2:23 to you? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The man on our penny, he was wounded with a piercing wound. Does anybody know what it was? A bullet, right? Jesus was wounded with piercing wounds. Oh yes, thorns that pierced him. Nails that pierced him. A spear that pierced him. The man on our penny who was pierced by a bullet is driven by a hammer. May I say, Jesus was pierced by nails, driven by a hammer. The man on our penny was wounded in the head or the skull. Jesus was wounded and he died in the place of the skull called Golgotha. The man on our penny was wounded at the Ford Theater. He was lifted up in the balcony about 12 feet above everybody there. In fact, he was lifted up higher than anybody else in attendance. Everybody was looking up to him that night. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men." And one day they lifted him up on a tree. Amen. The man on our penny was wounded with a great number of folks, a multitude looking on. Most people came to that theater that night to see the president. When Jesus was lifted up, there was a multitude watching him as he was crucified. The man on our penny, listen to this close. The man on our penny was at a theater. He was there to witness a drama. What is a drama? It's something that's written out on paper long before it's ever acted out on the stage. Jesus' crucifixion was a drama written long before. And it was finally acted out on the stage of life. Wow. According to the will of God, each person was an actor acting out the drama that God had written. Now, the two people that's closest to the man on our penny when he was wounded was his wife. You know what her name was? Mary. And the assassin was close to him. What was his name? John Wilkes Booth. The two people nearest Jesus when he died on the cross was his mother, Mary, and his disciple, John. When I look at the penny, I think about the assassination being a plot of the Confederacy. It was organized by a man by the name of Judah Benjamin. Did you know that Jesus was betrayed by a man named Judas? And Judas is another name for Judah. The man on our penny, he died in the capital city of Washington. The man, Jesus Christ, died in the capital city or just outside it, Jerusalem. The man on our penny was wounded on April 14th, Good Friday. Jesus, by tradition, was wounded on Good Friday. But most importantly, the date before the Passover was Nisan 14th. Just as April 14th. The man on our penny actually died as he was being carried across the street from the theater to a hotel. and he died on a bed that had cross slats. Jesus died on a bed called a cross. The man on our, this is 31, the man on our penny's body, the man on our penny's body was taken across the nation to be buried in Springfield, Illinois. His body was not in that big fancy tomb at first. It was buried in a temporary tomb, in a bank. It looks like the garden tomb of Jesus till they could build a better one. Jesus' body was placed in a temporary tomb, but on the third day, he arose, and he's never going to need another one. Look at your penny again. On the front of it, there's another word there. It says liberty. The man on our penny declared liberty by setting the captives free. In fact, that reminds us about that man on the penny and the Emancipation Proclamation. Listen to what Jesus said in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to the captives. We were slaves to sin, in bondage to the devil, but Jesus signed our Emancipation Proclamation and made us free by his shed blood. The man on our penny is said to have lived on earth, died, and this is what they say, that in the White House, there's a ghost roaming the hallways and the corridors of the White House to this day. Different presidents have said they believe the ghost of Abraham Lincoln is there. Now, I don't know about you. I don't believe much in ghosts, but I believe in the Holy Ghost. Jesus lived on the earth. He died. He arose again, ascended to the right hand of God, but his Holy Spirit is still here. I'm saved, and the Holy Ghost is roaming the corridors and the hallways of my soul, honey, and he tells me that Jesus is alive, and he gives me hope. He lives inside my heart. Hallelujah. Now, look with me. The man on the penny was a historical figure. Flip it to the backside. If your penny is older than 2010, raise your hand. Older than 2010. Look real close on the back of that penny, and you'll see what is known as the Lincoln Memorial. And if you could look right in the middle, I can see it on this one because this one's enlarged. But if you would magnify it, you would see there's Lincoln seated on the throne in the Lincoln Memorial. I would remind you that makes me think about Jesus because he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you're saved, Jesus lives inside your heart. And right now tonight, he may be very tiny in your heart. But if you'd start magnifying him just a little, woo, he'd get big. And he wants to be on the throne of your heart and on your life. Amen. Now, the penny has some Latin words on the back. Do you see it? E pluribus unum. That means out of many, one. Hey, thank God by Jesus' blood, the church has come out of many. And by his blood, we've been made one. The man on the front of this penny, he has three offices. He's an orator, he's a great speaker. He's a lawyer, he pleads cases. He's the president, he's the commander-in-chief. Jesus has three offices. Hallelujah. He's a prophet, priest, and king. The man on our penny, he stood head and shoulders above everybody around him, and still he would wear those great big tall top hats. Ooh-wee. Jesus is head and shoulders above them all. God hath highly exalted him. And you know what? Your penny even tells you how to get to heaven. Look at it. In God we trust. If you're going to get to heaven, you've got to believe what God says about his son. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus tells us to trust in God. Now, I asked you a question. If anybody here does not have a penny, are you one of those people that didn't have a penny? Put your hand up. Well, I did not have a penny with me tonight. All right, put them back down. Now, was someone able to cover you and share with you a penny? Is there anybody here that didn't have a penny at all? Did we get everything covered? Okay, everything got covered. That's good. Now listen to me. You got to remember, for those of you that didn't have a penny, somebody shared with you a penny. And you get to thinking about that. If that penny represents Jesus, What do you think about somebody just shared Jesus with you? For those of you that shared Jesus with somebody, how much did it cost you? The cost was small, wasn't it? But Jesus gave his life for sinners. I'm going to be done right here. Look back at our text in verse 22. The Bible says, when he said, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and they went their way. Did you know that today your government is exploring ways of eliminating the penny from our monetary system? Because it is more expensive to make a penny than the penny is worth. So they want to get rid of it. In fact, a lot of the Bible versions don't even use the term penny in their Bible versions. They use denarius because they say it's more accurate. Now let me just point this out tonight, that if you take away the penny, you're taking away the thought about Jesus. Let me also say this. I mentioned for those of you that had one that was older than 2010. For those of you that have a penny that is newer than 2010 or newer, raise your hand. What's on the back of your penny is a shield. You see, they didn't put in the Lincoln Memorial with Lincoln on his throne. They're trying to dethrone Jesus. They want to take him off the throne. You think about what's happening in our nation. We want to do away with the thought, one nation under God. We want to do away with the thought, in God we trust. If we take away the penny, which represents Jesus, we're taking away the thought about Jesus. They're already trying to dethrone him, but honey, they'll never get him off the throne. Never. Now, I don't know when you started this journey. I'm done. But I won't read one more text. It's in Matthew 20. I don't know when you started this journey. The Bible speaks about the labors of the vineyard in Matthew chapter number 20. And there were those that started early in the morning, those that started later on in the day, those that started later on in the day, those that started later on in the day, and those that came in on the 11th hour. And what did he give each and every one of them? What was their reward for their service? A penny. A penny. Preacher Darren, that's not very much. Jesus is our reward. Doesn't matter if you got in on the start. Doesn't matter if you got in at the 11th hour. Jesus is your full reward. I'll never forget one day I was working and I went to working a public job. The night before I'd gone to the hospital, seen a man that was an infidel, a drunkard, a man that was a God hater. And I'd went to see him 3 or 4 times, and finally on a Wednesday night I didn't go because I needed to get ready for church. He called his daughter and said, tell the preacher, where's he at? The daughter called me and said, Daddy's looking for you. Every night he wouldn't let me pray for him. I'd go and say, can I pray for you? No, don't pray for me. Every night. Finally he asked for me, where was I at? I said, I was studying, but I'll leave right now and I'll get to the hospital. When I got there, he said, preacher, where have you been? I said, well, I was studying to get ready to go preach tonight. I didn't think you was coming by to see me. You've seen me every other day. I said, well, can I pray with you? He said, preacher, yes, sir, I'm going to hell. I need to be saved, preacher. That family had found a lost coin. And that daughter, she was believing and trusting that God would save her daddy's soul. And buddy, I'm telling you something. She gloriously praised the Lord. When I walked out, she cleared everybody out of that room. The nurses tried to come in there, and she said, nope, the preacher's talking to him right now. She even took the phone unplugged the phone off the hook so the phone wouldn't even ring. So I would have his undivided attention, and he got gloriously birthed into the family of God. So, honey, I want to tell you tonight, it's about Jesus. I went back to work the next morning, and I was sitting there, and I bowed my head to pray over my meal. And I said to one of my friends, they said, what'd you do last night? I said, well, I went to see somebody, and then I went and preached at the church, and somebody got saved. Well, how got saved? What was that? Started telling about how he got saved. And they said, you're telling me that a man that lived his life as a drunkard, you're telling me that a man that has been a wicked man, that he's going to go to the same heaven that Peter and James and John and Paul went to? He's going to go to the same heaven? I said, that's what I'm telling you. You're telling me that the thief on the cross was going to go to the same heaven, and he didn't serve God, but maybe just a few minutes before he died, he's going to go to the same. Honey, I'm telling you that Jesus is our final reward. No longer if you've been saved 50 years or 5 minutes. Jesus is your final reward, and he's all that matters. Honey, I'm telling you, Jesus will take you from taxes to the tree. Amen. And he's going to take you to heaven in victory. Amen. You stand to your feet tonight. That's the thought the Lord laid on my heart this evening. Father, I thank you for the good word of God. And Lord, every time we see these coins, they represent Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would value these lost coins. We would value especially these pennies that to me can be priceless. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would learn to look for Jesus everywhere. He's in the coin. Lord, he's in the tree. He's in everything if we'd just look for him. He's on every page of the Word of God. And if we don't see him on the left side, look twice on the right side. God, I pray you'd open our eyes and help us to see Jesus as never before. Now, your head's still bowed. Nobody's looking. Say anybody tonight, you'd say, Pastor Darren, I've never been saved. I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven. Preacher Darren, I need to be helped tonight. And I know you can't save me, but I believe you could tell me about somebody who could. Is anybody? Is everybody here you saved tonight? Father, I thank you for the good testimony of this congregation. And Lord, I pray for someone who may be online, who may have looked tonight at a penny and thought, wow, I do see Jesus in this coin. And Lord, I pray, Father, do we see Jesus in their heart? Lord, if they're watching tonight, God, I pray, if they've never been saved, that God, they'd get on their knees somewhere, Lord, and they'd say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on a cross. I believe they buried him. I believe he rose again. And tonight, he's knocking on my heart's door, and I want to let him in. Lord, I pray tonight, God, would you save me? Lord, if there's somebody watching, maybe tonight or watching maybe 6 months in the future, God, I pray you'd hear their cry. As they cry out for salvation, Lord, you'd forgive their sins and save their soul. Wash them in the shed blood of Jesus. For this I pray in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen.